would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Scott, and I'm a singer and a songwriter.
That is the rumor. So here are some things I know. Scandinavia, singles, you're on a big label. You had FIFA 17, had a song in there. But here's what I want to do to start, to just kind of get us started. So, you know, is there something that people already, even early on, you go, I don't even know, and I'm going to ask you a lot of things, but I don't even understand why they never ask me this?
I don't think I have that, because I'm still so overwhelmed and shocked that people would even ask, like, these questions about me that I, like, so there's nothing that I've thought of, like, why haven't you asked me this?
Because you obviously don't, you don't just come out, write a couple of songs, and poof, you're on a major label. We're gonna go down that road. So, but the fact that you don't even understand yet is kind of intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, I do, when I have interviews like this, if we're talking about secrets, dark secrets as well, I often think like this is gonna sound so negative. I don't mean it like that, but like, are people interested in these things? My thoughts, like people I haven't even met.
Am I right that this is your first time playing in the U.S.?
That's right.
So, wow. First time playing in the U.S., and basically you have just a few gigs. You have L.A., you have New York, and then you're being trotted around in this South by Southwest absolute cacophony of insanity. So were you prepared? Did somebody show you movies of what was about to happen?
No, all I heard was rumors about, like...
What did you hear? What was the most insane rumor you heard?
People just said, be prepared that in every corner, on every rooftop, every bar, there's going to be music. Live.
Noise. You know, do you believe the level of sound here?
No. it's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm quite overwhelmed.
Why? I'm going to do it backwards. Why were the folk musicians that you grew up with outcasts? Because it's written up the same way every time, right? A forest commune, right? So the stuff that's missing there, it's a huge thing that's missing. Because people are like, okay, she went from a forest commune to making these big records. Something's missing here. So take me back. Did your parents live on this commune? Let's go a little deeper on this one.
So now we're touching the lie you were talking about. So the word commune has a similar word in Swedish, kommun. And in Swedish, it means... like a piece of land, a region. So I used that word at the start, like the first interview.
And it spread everywhere.
Yes, and I got so embarrassed when I realized what it actually meant, because...
Because you weren't hanging out with hippies smoking pot.
No, I mean, this village is very special in many ways and very, like, very traditional, but...
So is it like Quaker? Do you know what Quakers are?
No, what is...
You'll have to look that up. The Quakers are they have all these rules about how they dress and all of that.
No, it's not like that. It's more like I would say like 50% of the people in the village play the violin, for example.
Really? That must be a great violin teacher. They must get rich.
Well, it's...
Violin teacher in the...
Yeah, it's pretty different in its ways, but it's not like we don't have radio or cars, or we do buy our food with money. So
you don't farm the land?
We do. There's a lot of farmers' village, so it's the way it's... The thing is, the village does have its own language.
Really? So is that an offshoot of the actual? So is it kind of like Welsh? You know, like because that is such an exotic language to even, you know, people who are surrounding, you know, Wales.
Well, to me, it's like I see the similarities with Rättvik Smål and Swedish. So for me, it sounds a bit the same. But when I talk to people that are not from the village, they don't understand the language at all. So it's it has its own words. And
what's the most unique word in that language?
I mean, a unique word. I don't know. I guess kopjerk.
And what does that mean?
Spider.
Spider. Oh, that's a much sexier way to say spider, by the way. I don't think people would be scared of that. Okay, let's see if we're going down the lie road or the truth road. First time you heard popular music was 15. Is that because of all the violins?
That's also not true. I've never said that. That's something that just turned
out. But do you know that it's everywhere?
I know. I said I started to listen like to pop, like.
But it wasn't like it was banned from the village.
We were only listening to folk music kind of when I grew up, but. Like I said, we had the radio.
You could escape. You could late at night kind of put on your earphones. And
it's not like
the BBC or whatever.
It's not like I missed that Spice Girls existed.
Well, that might be okay, though. If you miss them, that might not be so bad.
Well, I was late in discovering pop music in its full potential, I would say.
Okay, so continuing the story. From the village to getting out of the village, to becoming, you know, and again, I don't like singer-songwriter, I don't like pop artists. I try to just say that it's about the music and about the songs. So just give us a minute or two about how you went from being, you know, 15 in the village to us sitting here today. Because, you know, it's a long trajectory, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I guess I'm in the pop genre now. But I feel like it's pop today is quite free, actually. I would say it's getting better, more allowing to bring influences from different genres and break the rules a bit.
Who suddenly said you should be a singer versus being a veterinarian, you know,
or a farmer in the village?
I always dreamed about becoming a composer and a songwriter. So I was always, it was just like 2 years ago that I realized that I've probably been actually in denial of kind of dreaming of performing my own music as well as an artist. But before that, I always said, no, I'm just going to be a songwriter. I'm going to be in the background and just make the songs, and like being on covers or having my face out there is not for me. But I wrote songs with other artists.
Now, being where you're from, you have access to some pretty amazing people. There's lots of artists, including one that was with me in this hotel 2 years ago. Was Tuffalo 2 years ago? Yeah. And we kind of sat here, and it was right at the edge. It was right at that moment. And it always seems to be that, where it's right at that place where a couple of months later, you know, I'm like, wow, that was really interesting timing. Manager, big label, publicist, all of this team you now have surrounding you. How does that magically happen? Because it's either you put something on the internet or someone saw you in a club. And I'm always intrigued by that because it's so different than it used to be. They used to be A&R people. They used to just troll the world looking for artists. And now it's like you could put a song on the internet in the right place, or BBC introducing me. There's so many opportunities. So how did that happen for you?
Like I said, I didn't expect to be an artist, really. But then I realized that I needed to stay in control of the songs I wrote. I didn't want to let them go. And I ended up making songs that weren't pitchable. Like I couldn't pitch it to anyone, couldn't think of anyone. And I didn't really want to, because I wanted to like tell the artist, like, sing it like this, or, you know, then you're not a good songwriter, then you should be an artist yourself. I like to say, because that was kind of how it was, I feel like I was in a cave for 1 or 2 years, just writing, kind of, and writing, starting to develop my own artist, like, writing, finding myself in my writing. And I had a publisher already since I was a songwriter. And me and my publisher, yeah, we realized, like, I have to release my songs because no one is gonna take them. and then he just introduced me to a manager.
And there you go.
And there we go.
So let's get all these rumors out of the way, because there's already a Lord being mentioned, a Katy Perry being mentioned, all these collaborations. And that complicates things in a way, because you're just trying to get your music out there. But let's try to unravel all of that really early on and talk about what's true and what's not true. So by the time we hear this, we know.
So I still don't understand how they even heard the music, and so early on. And I feel like it's almost, that was too good to be true. That's almost fishy to me. Like, I really wanna, I still wanna know how it happened, because I don't know.
Wasn't me. Okay, before we get to the music, and you see, I can't see it. Tell me about the tattoos.
Oh, the tattoos are not tattoos.
This is super important because, you know, artists either do this because it's showbiz, or they do it because they're making a statement, or some other thing. So this is more art. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, to me, it's more fun than clothes and makeup and jewelries. It's like jewelries. You paint. I'll rather draw a flower on my arm. Why not? Like, tattoos are beautiful, but you can't. It's like putting on a necklace and you're never allowed to take it off, and you can't match it to a new outfit. Or with drawing on my body, I'm allowed to always express new things.
It's dangerous to go out there and admit that you're fragile. When this body of work you're about to do, when you think about what is, I say this all the time, what is going to be a filter for a Scott song? When you're writing your songs, how do you know it's a song that's your song? Because you could write songs and other artists might be singing them. How do you know that it's your song?
I guess it's like you said, it's the thing about being fragile in public. The worst feeling I know is the feeling of you feel like a fraud, or you feel like you're just waiting for people to find out that it's not really, like, that something is not you, or you have a mask. Or so to me, to not being open about being fragile, for example, that's just, I'm just putting it out there and I can be completely honest with it, and that's liberating and less scary, actually, I would say. And it's kind of the same with the music. I can't put on a mask or do anything that I don't feel is me, or I can't put out music that I don't like that I don't really connect to. Or it's not about that every word, because this is a question I get often. It's about basically everything that moves me, that I feel is relevant.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you can pick songs by anybody else in between.